I'd like to begin the presentation, but first, the whores!
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 68, featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, again.
Of Nick and Willikins.
We join young Nick as his butler Willikins brings him home to Nick Hall, ancestral home of his family.
Where are we?
This is Nick Hall, sir, the ancient and revered home of your ancestors. As the last in the Nick bloodline, you are its lord and...
Oh, what's that?
It's a kestrel, sir, a type of bird.
Come on, the bloody kestrel, what's that?
That is a lemur, the mightiest...
And that?
It's a koala, sir, indigenous to Australia.
This place has quite a lot of animals, don't it?
Yes, two of each, sir. I believe you'll find it's the biggest private zoo since Noah's.
Oh, I mean, what's the cost of all this, then?
No man can say.
Cool.
Here we are.
Who are those people outside the gate, then?
And those are your serfs, sir.
Oh, those are the people I own.
No, it's a delicate class-based system that's been in place since medieval times, sir. The hierarchy relies on an elaborate...
Nope, I own them, and I own you.
I think you'll find...
Look, you have to do whatever I tell you, right?
Rather, sir.
Then you're basically my slave. Bark like a dog.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Bark like a dog.
Bark.
Delightful. Now, seeing as we have two of every animal, I want you to cook one of each of them in a giant pot. You heard me. I want an animal kingdom stew. Chop, chop.
Very good, sir.
Will Willikins bow to his master's mad wishes? Does the preparation of soup, no matter how elaborate that soup might be, really count as an adventure? Find out in next week's exciting installment of The Adventures of Nick and Willikins. Panel discussion.
Everything a joke to you, Matt?
Of course.
Yes. I've started, you know.
Oh, okay. Caught completely by surprise.
Yes, because I wanted to use that natural energy that we have.
I need to stop. I better stop making all those racial slurs then.
And start making the prepared racial slurs.
Yes, let's see here.
Remember, we're going back to basics here. We're going back to our roots. We're going, you know, just we're flying solo here. We're
all the way back to our racist special.
Yes, we're off the grid, off the map, off the chain, and yeah, I got nothing.
Can we stay on the map but off the grid?
I don't think that we can. I think the grid is on the map.
Well, where's the chain?
It's off
is the grid
hook.
Made of chains?
Yes, and it's off the hook. This party's going to be off the hook. So yeah, here we are. It occurred to us that we have not done a non-Q&A show that's just Matt and I since, like, episode one.
Yeah, so here's that.
What the hell? Why not?
Yeah, sure.
And we have some things we need to discuss anyway.
We don't need guests.
Well, need is a relative term.
We don't care for guests right now.
Well, no. What are you clacking over there?
Nothing?
Like, do you have, like, a kid's tooth in a paint can or something?
I have many kids' teeth, but I'm certainly not going to play with them during the show. That's unprofessional.
Some kind of painty can net over there? No, the thing we really wanted to discuss was we're both a bit distraught. I was not aware of this until Matt brought it to my attention. Apparently, Little Orphan Annie, the comic strip.
The lovable comic strip.
The long-running, since the 1920s, comic strip has
86,
ended.
86, I believe.
Yeah, has ended as of this recording, so when you hear it, it'll be a week or so. I was amazed.
May she rest in peace.
Yeah. And where did he leave, where did they leave it? Spoiler alert. Apparently she's living with some kind of a drug trafficker now, or
Kidnapped by a drug trafficker, I believe.
And just that's it. Like Daddy Warbucks. Like the last panel is him. Like, oh, she's gone.
He's doing this great. He's doing the great. What is it like? Luke at the end of Star Wars, like looking out the window.
Oh, right, like at the end of Empire, where it's like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe, you know, maybe things will be okay, but for now they're kind of fucked up. And
Or Little Orphan Annie frozen in carbonite, taken off by Boba Fett.
Exactly. Except there's no Lando going after her. Like, there's...
No. Nope.
It's just... But he's like, oh, that's too bad. And I realized that that people, I guess what they were down to, what, 20 newspapers?
20 newspapers. Basically, this was brought to my attention. I was reading off of comicalliance.com.
And obviously links, as always, in the show notes.
Yes.
And in that article, it was brought to our attention that the lines like, this hotel is lousy with bludgeoned corpses.
This is a line that is in a newspaper strip.
Yeah.
That is being published today.
And it's not out of context. In the panel, there's actually a hotel that's lousy with bludgeoned corpses.
Yep. This hotel is lousy with bludgeoned corpses lately.
Now...
That's a great line.
As a student of comedy, and I've talked about this before, I do analyze things a bit. I don't know that you could pack any more comedic violent imagery into a single sentence.
No.
Lousy with bludgeoned corpses.
I could
diagram that sentence and explain why it's funny, but I don't think I need to at this point.
No. It's perfect.
It really is. And for a strip like that to have a line like that so late in its run and then it just to be cut down, it's like obviously people weren't aware of what it was doing now.
Like I feel like we need to really look at this. This line is in a panel of Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah, from like
86-year-old comic strip that had a musical based on it.
Yeah, several musicals, as I found out. I did a little digging after you showed me that. I'm like, what is this really about? And apparently what happened was, and that article that you read said this as well, that it was sort of a Dick Tracy-ish, like, you know, spy thriller, like a lot of chasing around the globe, a lot of going after, like, you know, really bad guys and all this kind of thing. But I didn't realize over the course of its run just how serious it was.
Mm-hmm.
The dude was so pissed off at Franklin Roosevelt back in the day that he killed off Daddy Warbucks. He's like, Daddy Warbucks could not live in the same world as Franklin Roosevelt. Fuck it. And he killed him off.
And then
FDR died and he brought him back.
I live again.
Yes, it's unbelievable. There's this line in the Wikipedia entry. It was listing his various the people that travel with Teddy Warbucks, the people who work for him.
Mm-hmm.
There's like the ASP, and he added his mandatory like Indian, you know, from the mysterious Orient servant,
of course,
and you know, horrible 30s racist whatever. and then there was also the mysterious Mr. Am, a friend of Warbucks who wore a Santa Claus like beard and was of a jovial personality. He claimed to have lived for millions of years and even had supernatural powers. Some strips hinted that he may even be God.
What?
That's what Wikipedia says, and there's links, there's references. Like, it's not one of those blind, weird Wikipedia things. There's references cited. So, apparently God was in these world-traveling adventures with this rich bald man and the little orphan and her dog.
Rich bald man in a tuxedo.
Yeah. And a diamond pin. Like, that's apparently the trademark. It's like a tuxedo with, like, a diamond pin in the middle of it.
And weird.
Tooling around the globe with God.
Mm-hmm. And, well.
That's really, really strange. I guess that explains how he came back after FDR died.
Live.
Yes, exactly. So.
And on the third day, Daddy Warbucks rose from the grave.
Now, why they had the Lord Almighty, you know, the unspeakable Yahweh traveling with them and still couldn't fix that whole pupil problem. No man can say. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe she's like a zombie or. Like,
well, those are the eyes of God chosen.
Oh.
Because they cannot look upon him.
The penitent orphan kneels before God.
Exactly.
I gotcha. They also mentioned in this rather extensive Wikipedia entry, storylines included one where Daddy Warbucks lost all his money, then lost his eyesight and was thrown into prison. So that must have been a real hoot.
This is after the Depression, too.
Yeah, oh yeah, this was, you know, this was in like the 50s when everyone was doing great and they just wanted to be a jerk about it.
Oh, but I made so much money. I made so much money in World War II.
But there was time now.
His eyes actually fell out.
Yes, just like in that Futurama parody of the only Twilight Zone episode.
This isn't funny. I don't even like reading.
That's why I have servants to read for me.
God, get over here and tell me what's in the news today.
Call me, what was it, Mr. M. Of course, Mr. M.
They called me Mr. M.
So my main familiarity with Annie is, as most people's, you know, the musical they did in the early 80s. Like this.
Yeah.
As a kid, I loved it. Like, I'm not a big musical fan, but I did quite enjoy that.
I mean, it's one of those things where you have, like, that sort of dim recollection that it sort of exists somewhere out there.
Yeah. But much like, I mean, you know, we've talked about this many times, like many other newspaper strips. It's like, well, like, I guess that's probably still out there. Somebody's still reading Beetle Daily, I guess.
Yeah, or someone's grandmother, anyway.
Or, you know, the serial ones, like Apartment 3G or...
Judge Parker?
Yeah, Rex Morgan, MD, or...
Mary West.
No, Mary Worth.
Oh, yeah, Mary Worth.
Right. So now we're straying into comic book guy territory, because for a while there, the writers of The Simpsons didn't know the difference between a comic strip and a comic book. And so he would often make High and Lois references instead of Batman.
You're the creator of High and Lois because you were making me laugh.
Right. But there, you know, there's that movie. Aileen Quinn was in it, and she was adorable. And, and Tim Curry was the bad guy, of course, because Tim Curry was always the bad guy. And Carol Burnett, and a lot of great people in that.
Really, Carol Burnett?
Carol Burnett was the main bat, like the evil head of the orphanage.
Huh.
Miss Hannigan, like the one who like abused the kids and like figured out that she could get money and teamed up with Tim Curry and I think Bernadette Peters.
Never a good idea to team up with Tim Curry.
No, that usually ends badly. But yeah, Carol Burnett was like the main, the evil witch that ran the orphanage.
I haven't seen it since like I was six.
It was one of those that I watched when I was little, and then my little brother watched it like over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So rather familiar. Although I haven't seen it for years, and it probably doesn't stand up at all. But what's odd is apparently they made a couple of like direct to TV sequels, like they always do.
Oh, sure. TV Annie Goes sequel. To Paris. Or...
Sure. But here's the strange thing. There's a TV movie sequel in the mid to late 90s. And it had, I think, Kathy Bates was Miss Hannigan.
Sure.
And Ian McDiarmid was in it.
Ian McDiarmid.
The guy who played the Emperor in all the Star Wars movies. Was in an Annie movie. Now, I remember when Phantom Menace came out, and I was like, wow, they got the same guy back. That's cool. Like, the same guy from Return of the Jedi. What's he been doing all this time? Very little, as it turns out. If you look at his resume, he wasn't working. Like, I think he did stage. Like, he was acting, but he didn't do movies.
Uh-huh.
But apparently he came out of retirement or whatever to do this Annie sequel that he had, just had to do, and then went away again until they needed him for Star Wars.
This really speaks to me.
And say what you will about the prequels, you got to admit, that guy was pretty good. Like, that guy, you know, could play, you know, scenery-chewing evil, which is exactly what he was supposed to do.
Sir, would you like to be in the Little Orphan Annie remake? No. Wait, yes.
Power! Unlimited power! Yeah. So, I kind of wish Little Orphan Annie didn't go away, because now that I know that the hotel is lousy with bludgeoned corpses, I kind of want to read it. What the hell?
That was the sound of every CD on my computer falling over.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And suddenly silence. So nice that that's not verboten anymore.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, it's a Little Orphan Annie.
A thousand bludgeoned corpses. I'm very disappointed that we can't read about the hotel's lousy with bludgeoned corpses.
Yeah, anymore. I'm gonna miss that now.
Yeah. The way they ended it, I suspect they really want to bring it back. Like, they just kind of abruptly ended it.
Well, and I've heard that they're looking to make it into, like, a webcomic or something.
Yeah, but who's going to read that?
Well, that's the thing.
We are now.
Honestly, it's a lot more likely to be read if it's a webcomic now.
Well, that is true, but...
Especially if it's about hotels that are lousy with bludgeoned corpses.
Yeah, I mean, you got two fans right here and two fans with a microphone who will get, you know, maybe a couple hundred other people to look at
it.
So,
We will
totally champion that.
Listen, Little Orphan Annie, writer, whoever you are, if you're out there listening, and I know you are, if you keep the high standard of bludgeoned corpses in the comic that we've come to expect from the two strips we've read today, we will champion your cartoon strip forever.
Yeah, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll do promotional tie-ins. We'll do, you know, I don't know, like Little Orphan Algar and Maddie Warbucks. I don't know, something.
You threw that together really well.
It's almost like I had it pre-prepared or something.
Yeah.
No, I didn't at all.
I do not look good with a shaved head. I'll just say that right now.
And, you know, I do have the hair color, but not so much the curls. And
to gouge your eyes out.
Yeah, I'm rather attached to my pupils. the Barney Rubble look is not good for me.
So. Oh, God. Now I'm just picturing you singing The Sun'll Come Out Tomorrow. I think I have to go kill myself now.
Matt, it is a hard knock life. Just
I've heard that, yes.
Yeah, and then, isn't that like a gangster rap thing now?
Not only was it a gangster rap thing, but it was also in Austin Powers 3.
See, I actually liked 3. 2 was kind of a retread of 1, but 3 actually had some original jokes in it. But I don't remember that bit.
Now, is that I think it was Dr. Evil in prison.
I vaguely recall, like, this is me talking. I'm clueless about pop culture. That's my crazy characteristic. But, I don't know. People rag on me about that now. Like, I'm making it up. Like, it's a put on because, you know, I get laughs out of it or something. No, I just, I'm clueless. That's all it is. But I remember turning on the radio back in the day and it's a hard knock, but like, oh, Annie, wait, what? What is this?
Bitches busting caps in my bitches.
How did that?
It's a hard knock life.
Yeah. Is it ironic? Are they? Is this serious?
I guess if you're a gangster, it might be a hard knock life. I don't know. Trolling with my biatches.
Trollolo with my biatches.
Biatches.
See, the thing is, and this does make me sound like an old man, but my idea of rap music, like the kind that I like, is about good times.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
throwing your hands in the air like you just don't care.
Exactly. Just sort of half-heartedly throwing your hands in the air. No, and in fact, this weekend I watched a classic movie from hip-hop history that I'd never seen before, Crush Groove, which I was excited. Well, it was sort of a early days of Def Jam, like Run DMC, the Fat Boys, like the Beastie Boys had a brief cameo, like just all those, you know, all the old-school rap guys, like, oh, this will be fun. And it wasn't great.
Yeah.
It was like two different movies thrown together. It was like the story of one of the guys from Run DMC's brother, it's apparently based in an actual story, like borrowing money from the mob to get their record label up. And then it's kind of a serious story. And then at the same time, this sort of goofy, comedic, like likable story about the Fat Boys, like trying to get people to like them and realizing that they needed to embrace the whole Fat Boy thing. And that part was funny and charming and all that, but little disappointed. But yeah, I really enjoy when rap was kind of about, you know, good times, like party music, you know.
Yeah,
like, eating things.
No one had to bust a cap in anything.
No, it was a good time.
Caps stayed where they were.
And so after I saw it, I was of course, as I always do, because I'm an idiot. I go look things up on Wikipedia because. You know, a learned person would go look at books, but I have no time for books.
I need to learn more about this movie.
Yes. I should go to my local library.
But if you'd like to learn more about Crush Groove.
Right. Instead, I go to Wikipedia. And I was reading some stuff about Run DMC, most of which I knew because I rather like those guys. I'm a bit of a fan. But I read the song It's Tricky.
Yes.
Apparently... According to Wikipedia, It's Tricky was released to let people know that it's not simple to let people know that rap is not as simple as people think it is. That's the actual line in Wikipedia.
I just love the idea of Run DMC just hanging around. You know, people are always saying that it's really easy to rap.
Yeah,
we should write a song like that tells them that it's fun. And if you watch the music video, you learn it's actually remarkably easy to rock a rhyme because Penn and Teller cover for them very easily.
Yeah, they completely trick them out of it and you know, they rock a rhyme.
So it is in fact so easy to rock a rhyme that your average stage magician can do it.
Yeah, one freakish,
one of whom can't talk.
Yeah, one freakish giant and one mute can cover for three average sized, you know, black guys somehow. Very, very strange.
A pendulette.
But I wonder, it just makes me wonder, like, that remarkable internet, like, literalness they think somebody on the internet thinks people need to know that it's tricky. That's what it's about.
Yep.
It kind of made me want to go to the entry for, like, I don't know, Like, the song Maneater by Hall & Oates was written to warn people of the dangers of women who consume the flesh of man. Like, we really need to, if that's the standard, if that's what Wikipedia is going to be doing, then, you know, you can't just stop it. It's tricky.
The song Honey tells us that it's sad when your wife dies.
No, that's not nearly literal enough. It uses the metaphor of the sweet and sticky fluid made by bees to... Bat Dance informs people of a new dance involving Batman.
Involving the Batman.
And reminds you that this town needs an enema. But yeah, I got that weakness for the like the pop rap. It's one of my things. I mean, I had half of Twitter singing "Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go" earlier. I was
now that's a real skill.
That is an insidious earworm,
mm-hmm.
And I was pleased to have done that. I'd never watched the entire video because why would I?
Well, yeah, there's far too many Ninja Turtles in that video.
Well, not that. I have nothing against the turtles. I just never really got into them. But mm-hmm. But the video on YouTube, and I'll link to this, there's a great bit at the end where Vanilla Ice is explaining how they approached
him. That's tricky to rock a rhyme.
Yes. No, how they approached him to do the song. No, they came to me, you know, with the script. They had the movie all wrote out, you know. And they was like, hey, we want you to do this song, you know, but we want to ice it up, you know. You know what I'm saying?
They use those exact words.
Yes, we want to ice it up.
Mr. Ice, we have a lot of respect for you as a white rapper, and we'd like you to use your white rappingness on our Ninja Turtles movie. We would like to ice it up, as it were.
We really don't want many lyrics, though. Can you keep it to like 3 or 4 words, something like, I don't know, go ninja? That's all we need.
I like the idea that they brought him the script all laid out, but he didn't even make it through the word Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nope.
He made it to ninja, found a word he knew,
yep.
And went with that.
Teenage don't rhyme with nothing. Ninja. That works.
Now what can I rhyme with ninja? Ninja!
I like it. His actual quote is, they had the movie all wrote out, I think is what he said.
I just assumed. I always just assumed that movies just appeared.
Yes,
they sprang from the forehead of Zeus. formed.
I would love to hear Vanilla Ice say that, but no. Unfortunately, he's more like Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel. Only, you know, more affected hip hop.
Yo, don't hang me out that window.
Word to your mother. Get off the dang roof. And so.
Yo, I could call my mom from up here.
Yeah, so.
I lost a toe. That is whack.
Some folk will do that. Oh, but I mean, I enjoyed that song. I realized as much as I rag on you for liking the suck rock, I like the suck rap.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some like old school Will Smith, you know. About parents just not understanding, and
yep.
About the girls of the world being nothing but trouble, and so on in that fashion.
It really was a different time.
It was, and it's sad that it's not around anymore.
Yeah, you can't have happy rapping anymore.
No, you can't have Woomp Adams Family. There it is.
God,
I really wish they'd made more Adams Family movies, so we could have gotten more like. Really mangled, like, you know, who let the Addams Family out?
It's tricky to rock the Addams Family.
Go ninja, go Addams Family, go ninja, go.
Go Addams, go Addams, go. Go Addams, go Addams, go.
No, that's way too smooth. You got it really crowbarred in there where it doesn't belong.
Yes, but imagine Raul Julia singing it.
You mean after he...
After he died.
No. I'm just after he scrolls up some cinemas. That's the phrase I was looking for. After he fingles a doppel.
Didn't want to bingle or boggle the fingle doppel.
As long as he's not a filthy anteater. What is his thing with anteaters? God.
I love that episode.
Yeah. And of course, any of you who haven't a clue what we're talking about. It's Overdrawn at the Memory Bank on Mystery Science Theater 3000, which if you haven't seen it, what the hell is wrong with you?
It's on one of the DVDs, so it should be pretty easy to find.
I think it's on Netflix Instant. What do you call it? Now you got me saying, what do you call it?
Oh, great. I've got you saying delightful and what do you call it?
Delightful is delightful, though. I mean, that's one of those things. I enjoy that. We were talking to, well, we won't tip our hands here, a co-host of another podcast who has been on this show.
Cough, cough.
About being a wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Dressing up like a wizard for some reason. And the only word that came to mind was delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of any other. I mean, there's, you know. And some sort of affected, oh, hello, yes, it's delightful.
It's so nice to be a wizard.
Yes,
Delightful.
I'm just thinking of that awful Hannibal Lecter in the 80s version of Red Dragon.
Fly away! Fly away, little starling! Fly, fly, fly! Joe the pain!
What did he say to you in the next cell?
He said, I can smell your cunt.
I myself cannot. Ooh.
How delightful. I myself cannot.
Answer me these questions three.
Off you go.
Apparently. Now let's go to my dentist's office and pet a tiger.
How long did you breastfeed for?
Toughened your nipples, didn't it? Oh, Christ. Oh, God.
It'll be a long time before I find anything quite as funny as Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, for some reason, quoting that movie, and like, I try not to do the nice Chianti line and, like, the really obvious, like, ones that everyone quotes, but we're kind of running out of...
You get past that line, and there's so many better ones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually do love... Like, I mean, I like the movie anyway. It's one of my
favorites. Oh, yeah.
It's
a great book, too.
Yeah, it was. And rather close, as I recall. Like, there's mm-hmm. not a huge difference between the two. But there's that great line, was it, oh, Clarice, the real problem is we need to get more fun out of life. I used to say that all the time, and people, like, I didn't say the Clarice part. What are you talking about? Shut up, it's cool.
Maybe you should start putting the Clarice in there. People never knew what I was talking about until I started saying, what did you do, Ray?
Your anagrams are showing, Doctor. Iron sulfide, also known as fool's gold.
Your anagrams are showing, Dr. Spengler.
I've been out in the private sector. They expect results.
Yes, that would have worked if you hadn't stopped me.
If Dickless here hadn't shut off the grid.
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
It's true, Your Honor. He's some kind of rodent. I don't know which.
Wally Wick over here.
Very good, sir. Wally Wick. We start going British, and that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable. Can't help it.
At the end of all British voices lies Willikins. And indeed, Malcolm McDowell.
At the end of... What is it? At the end of Willikins is the undiscovered Nick.
I think you'll find that Hamlet is much better in the original Klingons.
Guess who's coming to dinner? Give all those horrible Chekhov lines to Nick.
Wes was whumming woo winner.
Perhaps you're familiar with the Russian epic of Cinderella. If shoe fits, wear it. Go on, then.
Very good, sir.
It's delightful. So here's another one of my great segues. I was at McDonald's this morning. Went into McDonald's. I had their... What did I have? I expected to retch in disgust, and I didn't.
I just expect that every time I walk into a McDonald's.
I got
now.
One of them fancy coffee Slurpees they got, and it wasn't half bad.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. That's a Slurpee.
Actually, it was more of a milkshake, I think. What is a frappe? They call it was a frappe because I ordered a parfait and a frappe and I knew the guy would get it wrong and he
a parfait, a frappe.
Right.
Oudelay.
Do you have anything in English on this menu?
No, that's what do you call it? Like that at Starbucks, a frappuccino.
Yeah, but I don't know what that is. Is that shaved ice or is that more like
it's ice and coffee and I think like cream and stuff.
Ah. Well, it was tasty anyway, I guess.
Yeah, no, they're good.
And I expected, like, because I was at McDonald's getting like actual breakfast and was like, well, I should get some coffee. And, yeah. I'm in fucking Seattle and like there's a Starbucks like right there and there's like a Tully's right there. And like, but I was already at McDonald's. So, what the hell? And like I said, I expected to retch in disgust and I didn't. And it's sad that we hold McDonald's to that standard.
Yep. And it's just expected.
I didn't vomit. Like that's I'm happy. Good for you, McDonald's. I didn't vomit.
You get a gold star.
That's good for McDonald's.
Oh, you really tried to make a thing that wouldn't make me have to spend an hour in the bathroom.
And it worked. Good for you.
Good for you. Have a pat on the head.
Yeah, that's actually and that brings me in another one of my delightful. And there's delightful again. Take a drink. Segues.
Is that what people are going to be drinking on now? Because they're in a lot of trouble.
Well, pour yourself a delightful beverage. And
have a drink every time Matt says delightful, what do you call it, or awesome.
Oh, Jesus, not awesome. No, the McDonald's thing reminded me. Actually, this wasn't intended to be a seg at all. I've been meaning for quite a long time for us to discuss McDonaldland.
Oh, wow,
and
yeah.
The denizens thereof.
That is a big fucking part of my childhood.
Yeah, mine too, and of most people's, I think. And we'll provide links as we always do. McDonaldland, for those of you who I guess didn't grow up in North America or are out of the age group or were homeschooled or whatever the hell.
If you just came out of a cave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's Ronald McDonald, the clown mascot of
yes, everyone knows that. He's like what? The most famous clown in the world?
Something like that. It's one of those where they did
one of the top three.
Yeah, they did like a name recognition thing and more people knew his name than the president or something. Yeah, something horrible like that. But in like the 70s, they decided that that he should live in this whole magical land of, you know, other people. And oh, boy, how to even begin?
If you've seen, oh God, what's it called?
Well, it's H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yes, thank you.
Sid and Marty Krofft, the guys who made that, I guess allegedly, and I might be getting the facts all wrong. I'm sure someone's going to tell me. If I'm not mistaken, the story is that they were asked to design some stuff. McDonald's said, nope, never mind. And then they used it anyway.
Yeah.
Or something really shady like that.
Yeah. I know that there was a whole lawsuit thing because the concepts are very close.
They are. And apparently they were directly involved. Like, it wasn't just ripped off from them. They were actually, like, involved for a little while.
Ah, see, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, it wasn't just someone watched H.R. Puff and stuff and with a piece of tracing paper. There was more to it than that.
We can do this, but we'll sell hamburgers.
Right.
All of this was hamburgers, far as the eye can.
Old Man McDonald owned all of this. Actually, it would be Old Man
crazy
Crocker.
Idea about growing French fries.
So it all starts with the Grimace.
Oh, God, yes.
Not Grimace, the Grimace.
The Grimace.
Who is a purple blob, and most of you are probably familiar with the Grimace already.
But... I actually, when I was five, went up to a guy at a McDonald's and asked, what is the Grimace? And he said it was a taste bud. So, actual guy working at McDonald's.
Well, you know, as much as five-year-old Matt probably took the word of a McDonald's employee as gospel, you got to realize, looking back now, the people who work at McDonald's probably not, you know.
Nope, this guy was a mixed scholar.
Just some high school kid.
Nope,
like I'm not besmirching the good name of people who work for a living or anything like that, but probably just some high school kid. Probably not an expert on McDonaldland, like the geopolitics of McDonaldland.
Listen, man, this guy was a manager.
Well, then he's probably like a college student or like a, you know. Like, really, there's not... Oh, I got nothing. I'm digging myself into a hole here.
So what you're saying is that you hate all people who work at McDonald's, basically. That's what we can take away from this.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
What I'm saying is if you ask someone at McDonald's now to answer a question for you, you probably wouldn't regard them as some kind of mythical expert. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Anyway, the Grimace.
The Grimace. Many people are not aware that he initially had four arms.
And was awful.
That's where I'm going with this. He was evil, actually.
Mm-hmm.
According to this Wikipedia, which is all I know is fucking Wikipedia. A large purple character introduced in 1971 as the Evil Grimace. In his first two appearances, he was depicted with two pairs of arms with which to steal milkshakes and sodas. Evil was soon dropped from the moniker, and he was reintroduced in 1972 as one of the good guys. Now, we were here in Seattle one of the times you came to visit, and I took you to this nice little greasy dive hamburger place that I like.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood. And the place is decorated with, like, old, like, fast food stuff. Like, stuff with the original Creepy King from Burger King and, like, Wendy's stuff and all that. And they had...
I was rather surprised to learn that Creepy King was, like, an actual character, too.
Oh, that's a, like, thing from my childhood. Like, I remembered him the first time around. When they brought him back, it was like, oh, God. I thought I'd blocked that out.
But it's like they used him originally unironically, which fascinates me.
Well, he changed expressions. I mean, they creepied him up a little bit.
Ah.
Now it's just like a solid plastic mask that doesn't move. Like, before, he would smile and frown and whatever. But yeah, Grimace had forearms, and they had this, I guess, like a placemat or something up there. And Matt looks at it and does, like, the best, like, comedic double take I've ever seen. Because
I believe my exact words were, ah!
Right. I'll just look at this on the wall here and, ah!
Now, if it looked like anything, have you ever seen Hellraiser?
Yes.
Okay, you know, at one point, this thing starts coming down a hallway at the main chick? Always reminded me of that.
All right, I could see that.
I'm going to see if I can find a clip to put in the show notes, because Jesus.
Yeah.
But that always reminded me of that.
It looks like someone started creating a horrible spider monster and then gave up halfway through.
Yeah. Yes, he'll steal milkshakes.
Yeah, that's what he'll do. So there's the Grimace.
Stole all the milkshakes.
There's, of course, the Hamburglar, which
who steals hamburgers.
Many jokes have been made about the Hamburglar. We don't need to.
Apparently, a lot of people in McDonaldland aren't aware of the fact that you can just buy this stuff.
Yeah, well, and we talked about this, and I don't even actually think it made on the show. With Albert a couple of weeks ago, with cereal. Cereal mascots are all about either hiding their cereal or stealing the cereal from someone. I mean, it's always about hiding things or stealing things, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess McDonald's wanted in on that action.
We're going to get in on that big seller.
Yeah.
People will buy our cheeseburgers if they think people are trying to steal them.
Or if they think that our cheeseburgers are actually the head of the mayor. Because really, what is that going to, like, what does that accomplish? Making me want to eat Mayor McCheese.
That guy looks delicious.
Oh, man.
Mayor McCheese was found assassinated today with his head half eaten. Chief Officer Big Mac is still investigating.
Well, and that's one I didn't realize until I went and sort of investigated this a little bit. I didn't realize there was Officer Big Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another just hamburger-headed guy, only he's the chief of police.
Yeah, he's dressed as a bobby.
Yeah, he's like the Chief O'Hara to Mayor McCheese's Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, thank God you're here, Caped Crusader.
Robble, robble.
It looks like the Hamburglar struck again.
And then apparently there's...
He sent a cheeseburger with a note on it to police headquarters.
Har-ta-tar-ta-tar. There's this whole, like, cast of horrifying, like, obviously psychedelic-induced characters trying to sell you hamburgers, and that's the last thing I want to do when I see these things. The idea of food wanting you to eat it.
Oh, yeah, that's always been unpleasant.
And that's actually a thing our good, great friend Michael Kupperman, who we had on the show once, pointed out this great website, and I'll link to it. It's actually an entire website of food mascots who want you to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pigs selling you pork chops and, like, you know, cows selling you hamburgers. And, like, they've got these cute cartoon faces on them. And they're like, you know, come in and eat our burgers. Like, wow, really?
Come on in. Take a bite out of me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they played up that in the first Hitchhikers movie, like the miniseries.
True. That actually was that in the book as well?
That was in the book as well. The pig monster that was bred to want you to eat it.
That was a cow.
Oh, I must in the movie it looked like a pig.
Ah, no, in the original BBC thing, it was definitely a cow, and I thought it was in the book as a cow as well. But yeah, same idea. Only these are cute is the thing. Like they played that as sort of a we would say Willikins, you know, like the distinguished English, you know. Why don't you try my ribs?
Take a bite out of the buttocks; it's especially tender.
Right,
that does look pretty good.
It's Willikins. He's called to wash his head at me.
Here I am, brain the size of a planet.
I've only been waiting. The first 1,000 years, those were the worst. And then the second 1,000 years, those were the worst too.
The third 1,000 years I didn't enjoy at all.
Then I went into a bit of a decline. Right. But no, these are cute cartoon mascots. Like, not mm-hmm. dignified at all, but like, you know, yay, look at me, aren't I adorable? Take a bite. Like, ugh, that makes it creepier to me.
I'm delicious and good for you.
Yeah.
No. Oh!
Hey! So, and that's what Mayor McCheese reminds me of. He reminds me of, like, that whole, you know, like, oh, he looks like he could be a pal, and I apparently want to eat his head.
Well, this takes me back to one of the Simpsons Halloween episodes, mm-hmm. when Homer gets his head turned into a donut.
Oh, yes.
And he starts picking at it. That gave me such the creeps.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
You also realize that the audience probably doesn't know what you just said, because I bleep what you said his head turned into.
Oh, do you really have to do that for this? I'm trying to make a point here.
All right, I suppose I'll let it pass this once. That doesn't mean I've lifted the embargo at all.
At all.
This is why we don't have guests anymore, damn it.
But, no, that really creeped me out.
I'm looking at this list of McDonaldland characters, and there's a few, just like sort of the obvious, like they had a pirate. They had a scientist.
Oh, yeah. I used to know the names of these. Yeah.
And then the professor, a bearded scientist type in a lab coat. Just like your standard cartoon archetypes. But what's funny is these follow sort of the same weird lines that actual cartoons did. Because then in the 90s, you had Cosmic, an alien who wore a large spacesuit and talked like a surfer dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him very well.
I'm really amused that... that they did the standard cartoon characters, and then they decided to bring in Poochie.
Yep. And then he literally had to go back to his home planet.
Yep. What's really strange, well, I don't know why I should say this strange at all. Frank Welker did the voice of most of these.
That's not strange. That's well within our, that's well within what we know about stuff.
Yeah, Frank Welker pretty much does everything always, so yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure Frank Welker's the voice of Matt.
There's no proof to say otherwise.
Yeah, that's fine. But I really have nowhere to go with this. I have no real point. It's just something
it's just fascinating.
It really is. And there's this whole mythology, and it's just kind of gone away. Like, people don't really remember McDonaldland anymore.
Did you know that in the mid-90s they came out with a video game called McKids?
No, but that doesn't surprise me. Did it have this cast of characters in it?
Yes, it did.
Like, more than just Ronald? Like, they were still using Mayor McCheese and so on?
Yeah, it was very much influenced by Super Mario Brothers 3, and each character had, like, a land.
Okay. Was it any good? Like, I mean,
no.
Did they take a half-decent game and just graph their characters on it, or was it just half-heartedly programmed as well?
No, it was a pretty standard side-scroller.
Okay.
But, and you didn't play as, like, a McDonaldland character. You played as a kid who went to McDonaldland.
Well, of course. Because why would you ever want to be, you know, well, really, why would you ever want to be Ronald McDonald?
That's a good question.
And I say this as a man named Ronald with red hair who had big feet as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, I don't want to be Ronald McDonald at all. I really, really don't. Yeah. There's a whole weird thing with him, too, like a whole weird history. Do you know who the first Ronald McDonald was?
I know it was somebody.
Willard Scott.
Wow, really?
The big fat weather guy on, I think he's on the Today Show still, isn't he?
As far as I know.
He's the one who's like, happy birthday to Mildred. She's 101 years young from Smucker's Jam. That guy.
I know that the original Ronald McDonald was horrifying.
Well, yes, he was. He was also one of the first bozos, if not the first bozo.
Mm-hmm. Also horrifying, but I mean, now we're getting to the whole clown thing.
Yeah. But
people love McDonald's burgers. I'll whip one up right now.
Don't handle my food.
And he just made it on this tray that was permanently affixed to his chest.
Yeah, and he always had a creepy voice. And God.
If anyone out there has any influence whatsoever, please spread the word. No one likes clowns. At all.
Charlton Comics obtained the license to publish 4 issues of a Ronald McDonald comic. In the 70s.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, but
I'm sure that did really well.
That just makes me think. That just makes me think of Alan Moore getting a hold of them and turning them into the Watchmen. Because I mean, Charlton, you know,
Yeah, I got nowhere to go with this.
Crushed,
really.
Crushed cheeseburger in alleyway this morning.
Mayor McCheese, possible homosexual.
I made your burger 31 minutes ago.
Oh, God. This is probably funnier than it should be. We had our A material when it comes to The Watchmen was like a year and a half ago on Twitter, and it's probably long gone.
Yeah.
But when we first both realized that talking on Twitter, like, you know, consolidating your words to 140 characters is much like talking like Rorschach, much hilarity was had.
I completely forgot about Rorschach's Twitter account.
Yeah. Did he have one, or did we just...
Well, he didn't have one. We just did that for a while.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that's probably much funnier to us than it is to you. But oh, God. The Fry Guys.
Oh, yeah, they're horrible.
What are they?
Aren't they? They're guys made of fries. The name's right there in the title.
Yeah, but what are they? They're not made of fries. They're like blue and red.
No, but fries hang off of them, and they scurry around in those little feet.
Do they make that noise? That like
this? I think they actually speak, which might actually be worse.
Ugh. There's this Fisher Price telephone, this toy phone.
Oh, the Flonk phone.
Yeah, the Flonk phone. Flonk appropriated the image as his own, and you know, good for him because it's a disturbing image and it's fairly unique. Everyone knows what it is, but no one. It's not like all over the place. And it's now like everyone. Oh yeah, the Flonk phone. But it's this little telephone, and it was a rotary dial. I assume they've made it a touch tone by now.
Mm-hmm.
But and you pull it like on a string with it's on wheels, and it's got little eyes, a little face, and when you pull it, it goes like this horrible, horrible noise that just like invades your dreams. And
Cousin It.
Yeah, and it's just it's awful, and that's what I assume the Fry Guys sound like because I don't remember what they sound like. But
and they perch in the corners.
You got a real thing with that, crouching especially.
Mm-hmm.
Crouching in the corner. And then there's Uncle O'Grimacy.
What?
Uncle O'Grimacy.
Okay, this can only be exactly what I think it is.
I'm glad you don't know what it is. Let's hear it.
I assume it's Grimace's Irish uncle.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I assume.
He appears when the shamrock shakes or something.
Yeah, of course.
He's the Irish uncle of character Grimace and is a variant of the Grimace design that he's green instead of purple, sports a frock coat covered with four-leaf clovers, and carries a shillelagh.
Of course he does. And every March he gets drunk and beats Ronald up.
No, Ronald!
What did you call me? I didn't say anything. You son of a bitch!
Wow. So yeah, McDonald. Like, yeah. I said, I really got nowhere to go with that. It's more one of those, hey, remember this?
Remember Mac Tonight?
Oh, man. You remember Mac and Me?
No.
You don't? This would have been when you were the target age. You would have been the target demographic for this. It was made for young kids, like, in the early 90s. It was an E.T. ripoff. It was an obvious ripoff of E.T.
Mm-hmm.
10 years after E.T. came out.
Oh, good, good, good timing.
And apparently there were huge promotional tie-ins with McDonald's. I never saw it. But
wow, really?
Let me just...
McDonald's presents Mac and Me. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Mysterious alien creature, Mac and Me. and Wikipedia refers to it as a feature-length commercial.
Oh, good.
I'm pretty sure that's, you know, that's being a little harsh. Despite being labeled as one of the worst movies ever made by Rotten Tomatoes, where it holds a 0% rating,
wow,
Mac and Me has gained a cult following due in large part to its unintentionally humorous low production values. We might have to watch this.
I think that's probably going to happen.
Oh, wait. Conan's already made it a running gag.
Oh.
Damn it, Conan.
You've already got so much. Why would you take this from us?
Well, right now he doesn't have a show at all.
That's true.
Let me see.
Take that, Conan.
Let me see if we can get this. If we can obtain this movie, we might have to give this a look.
The only food the aliens require are Coke and Skittles.
Ah. They don't even sell Skittles at McDonald's. See? It's not a commercial.
10-minute long impromptu dance number featuring Ronald McDonald.
Okay, that's pretty
wow.
Yeah. Aw, man. Well, it's on Netflix, but it's got a short wait, which means it's popular.
During the scene where Mac is drinking a Coca-Cola, director Stuart Raphael comically holds up $400 bills in the background. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty great. Oh, delightful. And again, I really wasn't going anywhere with that.
Just Mac and me out of nowhere.
Yep. I was trying to do that Pablo thing that, oh man, remember blank? Remember Morton Downey Jr.?
Oh man.
You don't remember him, do you?
No.
Well, that's okay.
Sorry. I don't remember Mac and me either.
You should. Like, it came out right, like, you would have been the target audience. It came out in 1988, so you would have been, like, what, 5?
Yeah.
It's made for, like, 5-year-olds. Like, it's...
Wow, the alien even kind of looks like E.T. That's pathetic.
Well, you know. But E.T. came out in 1982, so it wasn't even like a, let's rush this out and cash in on E.T. Like, it was way after.
Hey, you know what made money a couple of years ago?
Yeah. So there's that. What the hell?
I just heard something scream in the background.
Yeah, so did I. I've shut all the windows and doors to record, and the screeching of my neighbor's children is still.
Is Amanda killing someone?
I wish. No. So anyway, Morton Downey Jr. is a name that just, I don't know, been crossing my mind lately. you have no idea who that is, do you?
Is this a real person?
It's a real person. He's dead now.
But may he rest in peace.
Real guy.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a late night talk show host, sort of like a cross between like Jerry Springer and like Bill O'Reilly, like one of those shouty political guys.
Oh yeah,
but really trashy and just like he was way ahead of his time. Like that show was sort of foreshadowed how awful TV would be
awesome
in this decade. Only it was on in the 80s. It was
sort of like the Real World in the 90s.
Much like that, except his logo had a giant mouth.
Ah,
I don't think they had any giant mouths on the Real World. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch.
One of them lived. A giant mouth lived in one of the houses. I remember that.
You sure you're not still thinking of McDonaldland?
I might be.
No.
I remember one of the Real Worlds took place in McDonaldland.
Oh, hey, remember the Real World McDonaldland with Muhammad? I think we've milked this cow as far as it can be milked.
This McCow.
This four-armed cow.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right, then. See, we don't need guests. We can do this just
fine. Yeah, we're... Fuck that. Fuck them. We're awesome at this.
Yeah, we know exactly what we're doing. So tune in next week when we have every guest we've... No, we're still doing this. I think next week, if we can... if I can manage to make this happen, you're going to hear us play Battleship for an hour.
Awesome.
This is the idea that we hashed out last week. Because the other shows are doing, like, listen to them play D&D, we're gonna try to one-up them and have you listen to us play Battleship.
That's what people really want.
It is.
Hot Battleship action.
Yes. So look forward to that. All right, mm-hmm. So that's it, and we're going to stop talking now.
Mm-hmm.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010. He was a suburban child
of the 70s. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps? That's what happens.